I already mentioned at the beginning of the service a little bit about what we're doing today. This is a Lord's Supper service, meaning we are going to be serving the Lord's Supper. And I want to explain a little bit more about all of this. First and foremost, because I don't know all of you personally, and I don't know the condition of your heart, I don't know where you are with the Lord. I understand many of you know the Lord as your Savior. But I want to once again remind us what the Scripture says about the most important decision that we will ever make in our lives. And that is to know for sure that if we died, our soul would go to heaven. And the Bible teaches us that we can know that. You say, well, how do we know that? And how does Jesus Christ fit into this? So I want to begin this morning and talk to you about how to become a believer. Would you take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3? And if you don't have a Bible, just listen, because I'll be reading these verses. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. Notice, if you will, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now notice this next part. That whosoever, that means anybody in the world, all of us can make this decision. But whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you notice that this says, God loves us? How do we know? Because he sent the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. God, according to the Bible, is one God, three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father sent God the Son, who came in the person of Jesus Christ, walked on this earth, and went to the cross. He wasn't forced to go to the cross. He came here to go to the cross to make the payment for our sins. So this says, by simply believing, trusting, or receiving, however you want to say it, his payment, our sins are forgiven. And as a result of that, we are now in a position to go to heaven. So the most important decision you can make today is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We're not talking about joining a church. We're not talking about trying to get to heaven by good works. Listen carefully. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy at the cross, he saved us. None of us can keep God's commandments all the time. But Jesus died to pay for our sins. So if you have not made that decision, you make it in your heart. It's like I say, it's not joining the church. It's not trying to work your way to heaven. You don't have to come down to the front here. But in your heart right now, you say, okay, I know I'm a sinner. You made that pretty clear. God said he loves us and he sent Christ to die for us. I want him as my Savior. Now, I wanted to emphasize that because what we're doing today is for those who've made that decision. As I said, we do not judge anyone. If you do not partake of the elements today, nobody is criticizing you. That's a personal decision. But if you are a believer, whether you are a member of our church or not a member of our church, but you know Christ as your Savior, this is for you. Jesus is the one who established this. What I want to share with you today is a little bit about this particular, sometimes we call it an ordinance or a sacrament. Some people use that terminology. But before we partake of the elements, I want you to see what the Scripture says to prepare our hearts. Would you turn in your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So what we are doing is laid out here in Scripture for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, just one verse right now, and then we'll look at another one. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Examine yourself. Verse 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. And here's the part I want you to see. Not discerning the Lord's body. What does that mean? Right now, every one of us should examine our hearts so that when we partake of these elements, we do it with discernment. What does that mean? This says, with discernment. That is, we think about the body of our Lord that he took upon himself when he came into this world. Now remember, he's God. But he temporarily took upon himself human flesh for the purpose of the crucifixion. Do we know for sure that he paid for our sins? Yes. You say, how do you know? Because he said, if I make the payment, I'll prove it to you. You count 3 days, and I'll come back from the dead. And he did the resurrection on Sunday morning. By the way, that's why we meet on Sunday. We are here to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. That's our hope. That's our assurance that the sins have been forgiven, that the payment was made. And so, in a few minutes, when we partake of the bread, we should be thinking about the body that he took upon himself when he came into the world. In a few minutes, when we drink the cup, we should be thinking about the blood that he shed when he died on the cross. So we are to observe this ordinance thinking about what we're doing. That's what the Scripture says. And I'm sure that after all of this, I mean, you are thinking and you understand the sacredness of what we're doing. All right, that being said, I have a simple outline for us this morning. Before we partake of the bread and before we partake of the cup, the Scriptures in 1 Corinthians, where it's describing what we're doing, refers to this ordinance in 4 different ways. You say, what do you mean? Okay, are you in 1 Corinthians? Would you look at chapter 10, verse 16? Here's the first one. 1 Corinthians 10, 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That's pretty clear. He just said in Scripture here, when we partake of this bread, it is communicating to us the importance of the body of Christ. And notice he says, it's communion with his body, communion with his blood. And some of you, that's the terminology you use. I've had people come into the church here and say, could I just ask you a question, Pastor? Do you do communion here? I know what they mean because they're referring to this passage describing this ordinance as communion. And it is. So what we are doing is communion is to have in common or to share together. What he's just saying, paraphrased, when we drink the cup, we are sharing together the blessing that comes from what the blood of Christ has done for us. When we eat the bread, we are sharing together the blessing that comes from the broken body of Christ that hung on the cross for us. Now that's the first term. So this is referred to as communion. Second, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice, if you will, now, verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. What did he call it? The Lord's table. He's called it communion. Now he refers to this as the Lord's table. I grew up on some of that terminology. When people would come into the church and they would see the communion and everything, what is that? Well, that's the Lord's table. And for people who aren't church people, they're like, the Lord's table? What does that mean? And I would simply say to them, the Lord's table is a special table where we are remembering the death of Jesus Christ on the cross by partaking of the elements. Now, did you notice something else in this passage? He says, and 1 Corinthians is written, by the way, to the church in the city of Corinth. So it's to a congregation. Here's what you need to know about the background of these people. These people at Corinth, many of them who are now Christians, and they go to church. But they weren't Christians most of their lives. What they used to do, and all over the city of Corinth and in the Middle East, really in all that part of the world, there were huge facilities built where the people went there and they bowed down to gods of wood and stone. And then it was legalized prostitution. They would worship the god, and then they would commit immoral acts with the priestesses of the god. Wow, you see, that's pretty demonic. Yes. These people at Corinth, that's what many of them had been doing most of their lives. And then they heard about the saving power of Jesus Christ. And they got saved. And their lives were changed. And now they're going to church. But one of the things that they did when they worshiped the God, aside from the immorality, they would come sometimes with an animal and offer it as a sacrifice to the God, but sometimes there was meat left over. And the officials there would say, "You can take what's left over, we don't need it." And they would take the meat home, or they would invite some of their friends to join them for a meal, and they would eat the meat that had been offered to an idol. The people at Corinth are now getting confused because some of the people in the church apparently are still going back to some of those idols, and they're inviting some of their Christian friends over for a dinner, and they're eating the meat of the idol. Oh my goodness. What? Stop. Now, I know this is not where you are, but this is the context of the passage. Let me show you. Look what he says. Verse 21. Let me read it again. He says, "Remember, when you come for the Lord's table, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons." You can't partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. You want to provoke the Lord to jealousy? Yeah, that would do it. Here's what he's saying to those people. You got saved out of that lifestyle and that background. Why are you, some of you, going back there and socializing around the idol? Because the temple had all kinds of rooms where people could gather for meals and socialize. And what he's saying is, you need to stop going where you used to go. You're a Christian now. You've been saved. You are separated from the world. To which I would say to every one of us, do you remember where you used to go? What you used to do? The way you used to live? And some of it is very disgusting or very sad. And when you think about what you were when you were in your unsaved life, maybe you were very immoral. Maybe whatever. That's your old life. Bury it. That's what he's saying. Separate yourself from it. Because when you partake of these elements, you are remembering the Lord Jesus Christ who freed you from your wickedness and your sinful lifestyle. Don't try to worship demons and also worship the Lord. You can't do it. So when you understand the context of all of this, it helps to appreciate. I have tried through the years as a pastor to give proper thought and significance to this as we partake. So he says, this is communion. It is also referred to as the Lord's table. Now, that being said, notice he says that we are partaking of the bread and the cup. And the bread is a picture of the body of Christ. Would you now take your element? And if you will, pull back the little piece of plastic. And on the top, you should it's a little circle. This is a symbol. This is a picture. This is just an illustration, a reminder. And don't forget this. It was Jesus who gathered with his disciples in the upper room. And he said, I'm going back to heaven, but I don't want you to forget me. When you gather together, take the bread, which will remind you of my body, and drink the cup, which will remind you of my blood. Don't ever forget the cross and what it did for you. This is our Lord's reminder. And Lord, we humbly bow our heads in your presence, and we know that this wafer is a symbol of your body, which was broken for us to save our souls from hell. Thank you, Lord, for coming into this world. We can't even grasp the horrors of the suffering of the crucifixion that you went through. But thank you. You did it to pay for our sins so that we will have everlasting life. And we want to just remember that sacrifice by eating this wafer. In Jesus' name, and you may go ahead and eat. I've shared with you that this ordinance that we are observing today is referred to in Scripture as communion. It is referred to as the Lord's table. There's a third term that is used, terminology. Notice, if you will, 1 Corinthians, turn to chapter 11, verse 17. First Corinthians 11:17. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, and this talk about the church at Corinth, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. There must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Now here's the key, verse 20. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For what you're doing in eating, they're having supper, by the way, but it wasn't the Lord's Supper. They were just tagging the Lord's Supper into it. They were gathering for what they called a love feast, gathering together, eating, having fun, and then somehow, oh yeah, the bread and the cup. Yeah. But they weren't doing it with sacredness and with seriousness. In fact, look at this verse 21. In eating, one takes his supper above another. One is hungry, and some are drunk. What? Look at what he says. What? Don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Pretty strong terminology as to the attitude that we're supposed to have when we come to this table. But notice he referred to this as the Lord's Supper. So that's the other term that is used, the Lord's Supper. Now let me give you a fourth term. And before I give this one to you, I'm going to show you the word in the Scriptures. But some of you have different backgrounds, so don't jump to any quick conclusions, okay? He's called a communion, the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. There is another word in this passage, and it's the word Eucharist. That word is spelled E-U-C-H-A-R-I-S-T. In the word is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, which is grace or thankfulness. This particular word is used, I'll show you in a minute, and Eucharist actually means to give thanks to God. In the context here, the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, communion, we are giving thanks to God for what he's done on the cross. Let me show you a passage where the word is used. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me read verses 23 through 25. For I received from, now notice, I received from the Lord, he says, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. There it is. We just did that. And when he had given thanks, there's the word Eucharist. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So what this is saying is, when Jesus instituted this Lord's table, there was a moment where he stopped and gave thanks to his Father for what he had done in him now going to the cross to save us from our sins. And that's the word Eucharist. Now, I will tell you, many churches do not use that particular term Eucharist for this, and here's why. And please, I am not condemning or sitting and trying to be harsh toward any other churches. This particular word is used by many different denominations. But here's what happened. Instead of it just being a word, we're talking about giving thanks to God. Over the hundreds of years after Christ was here and the church started, and the church started, as you know, in Acts chapter 2, some churches began to teach that, and in particular, the Roman Catholic Church began this in 1215. They had one of the popes who made a declaration that went beyond the scriptures, I believe. This is not in the scriptures. That the wafer literally becomes Jesus' body. And when you drink this, you're drinking his blood, literally. That's not what the scripture teaches. And some denominations teach that this, when you partake of these elements, it helps you get to heaven. Or it is the means of getting you to heaven. Please, I am not condemning. I want to be sure I clarify, and I want us to stick with what the scripture says. Look at that passage again. Let me read it to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. What did he say Jesus said? He took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and then he said, take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. Do this in order to get to heaven. That's not what he said. Do this to remember me. Oh, that's what we've been doing. When you partake of the bread, I want you to do this to remember me. Church. He's then going to say the same thing about the cup. When you drink the cup, the verse says, you do this to remember me. Not to get to heaven, but to remember me. To which I say, okay, Pastor Lancaster, never forget. Easy for us as Christians to forget what Jesus has taught. I try to remind myself over and over again when I face all the situations of life during the week, what would Jesus say to me? What would Jesus want me to do? Let's follow what he says. And this says that Jesus said, you eat the bread, do this to remember me. And notice he repeated it, the cup. He took the cup after supper, saying, verse 25, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So we do it in remembrance of him. Some churches, when they refer to a Eucharist, they somehow feel that this is helping people get to heaven. Jesus paid it all on the cross. All of our sins. And some people think if they go to church, they'll get to heaven. No. It's faith in Christ. So the bread and the cup are to remind us of the crucifixion. And so that being said, I would like for us to partake of the cup. So if you'll pull the plastic back. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we've been able to open your holy word and be instructed as to how we are to do what we are doing this morning in observing the Lord's table, communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. Help us to remember, Lord, what you did for us on the cross. And as you said, this cup is to remind us of the blood that you shed to save us. And we just want to pause and thank you before we drink, because we know this is what it symbolizes. So we just want to say thank you again. As we said many times, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our hope, our assurance, we're looking forward to the place way beyond the blue, heaven. And so we thank you for the assurance we have of heaven because of what you did on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's drink together. Thank you.